Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochus Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Samach Aleph. You'll notice a diamond around Rav Huna. This is a second statement of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, in the name of Rabbi Meir, the first one we had seen toward the end of our previous shiur. So the Gemara says, "V'omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Li'olam Yu Dvarav Shel Adam Mu'atim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." That a person, even though we highly encourage prayer, however, when a person is in a state of trouble and he wants to pray for relief, he has to know how to limit the amount that he expresses his pain. You'll see more about this in the Marsha commentary. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Al tevahel al picho v'libcho al yamahir lahoitzi dov l'fnei elokim. Don't be so quick to shout, if you will, against the Almighty. Ki elokim b'shamayim v'atal haaretz. The Lord is in heavens, we are here on the ground, and He sees all and knows the ultimate and what's best, and we are finite and mortal. Al kein yu dvorecha me'atim. Therefore, our words should be few. So, on the one hand, and we find references to this in Maseches Sukkah, how the Kodesh Baruch Hu is mis'avel the tefilosim shel tzadikim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a great desire, kiviyochel, to hear our prayers. However, there is one thing to pray, especially in a situation where things are going relatively well for a person. Then a person should actually pray hard that things should continue going well. However, when a person is lo aleinu in a state of trouble, he should be careful how he prays and how he phrases his needs. So that's where this Gemara comes in. Before we go further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under our Nosei topic heading, and we call it Yetziras Adam, the formation of man. We'll deal here with the topic of how man was created. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. My dichtiv Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Adam b'shnei yudin. What's the significance of the word Vayitzer, which means to form? That it has two yuds in that word. Answer, Shnei Yitzorim Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should note, by the way, that the explanation of this double yud phenomenon is going to be expressed by three different opinions, and we'll be numbering them as we go along. So this is the first opinion, and that says that the two yudim represent Shnei Yitzorim Bara Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created in man two inclinations. Echod Yetzer Tov, Echod Yetzer Ra. One, a positive inclination, one known as the evil inclination. Maskif lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok asks on Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda's pshat, Elo me'ata behema deloksi bo vayitzer. In the creation of animals, the word vayitzer does not appear. So, less lo Yitzra, are you going to claim that it does not have an inclination? We see that animals damage, they bite and they kick, showing that they do have an evil inclination in them. So to say that the word vayitzer is pointing to the phenomenon of inclinations created would not be absolutely true, because in the case of animals we see that there's no vayitzer, and yet they do have this inclination. Elo k'Rav Shimon ben Pasi. Rather, the explanation will follow his teaching. Yomar Shimon ben Pasi, oi li miyotzri, vi oi li miyotzri. A human being is under a constant, relentless battle, and if a person should choose to veer off the correct path, the Torah path, and follow his evil inclination, so then he is in woe of his creator. That's the Yotzri. And if he should try to choose the correct path and overcome his natural or his animalistic tendencies, the Oili Mitri, then woe unto me because of the aggravation or the relentless expenditure of energy in trying to conquer the evil inclination. We can see the Rashi at the second line from the top, Oy li miyotzri im elechacha achar yitzri, woe unto me from my creator if I should follow my evil inclination, the im lo elechacharov, and if I don't follow my evil inclination, Oy li miyitzri, then woe unto me because of that yetzahara hamiyageni bihurim, who constantly afflicts me and tires me out with his attempt to seduce me away from the Torah path. Inami, another approach to the Vayitzer, is Kidu Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elozer. The Omer Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elozer, Du Partzufim Bora Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Adam Harishon. The Du means two faces. In other words, the first man, original man, was created as man and woman back to back and stuck together. That's the two Yudin, a reference to two creations that were created together. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ochor Vokedem Tzartani. In back and in front, I was created. We continue with the topic of how man was created. Before we go further, we're going to notice in the next couple lines the appearance of triangles. And under our Mivneh heading, we note triangles in two directions. Hityachasut l'shnei hadeois. We're going to be referring to the two opinions. Echo yanira odom b'shas yitziro. So how did first man appear at the time of his creation? Was it parsuf, means two bodies that were back to back, or zonov, a man and a tail that was later formed into the woman? The pasuk says, "Vayivan Hashem es tzela," and the Kodesh Baruch Hu built the tzela. The tzela sometimes is translated as rib or the side. Rabbi Shmuel, Chad Omar parsuf, Chad Omar zonov. One says that the pasuk is referring to face, in other words, back-to-back faces, and the other a tail. Now, you'll notice, first of all, before we go further, as far as our markings are concerned, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a encircled Yitziras Adam v'Chava, the formation of Adam and Eve, and a vertical descending dash line, which shows you that all of these lines of the Gemara are dedicated to this particular topic. In addition to that, we're going to encounter other markings that we'll try to explain as we go along. So the Gemara says, Bishlama, the triangle is pointing up, so you'll see that here we're going, according to the Madomer, that it was a face-to-face creation, and you can see we've dashed underlined, Bishlama la Madomer Partsuf. So things will be understandable, but according to the Madomer, that it was a tail, so we're going to have a problem. And you'll notice the triangles that are whose point is facing upwards, each of them is Bishlomand Omar Partsuf, and you can see this easily by the dashed underline that follows. The last of the triangles, which is inverted, you can see there it says Bishlomand Omar Zonov, that things will work out better according to the tail approach, and we'll see why. So the Gemara says Bishlomand Omar Partsuf, according to the opinion. We had Rav and Shmuel. One of them says, back-to-back male-female creation, Hainu dichtiv ochor vokedem tzartani. So with that, we understand that particular pasuk, which says, ochor p'tilim perek kuf lamites, ochor, back, vokedem, in front, tzartani, was formed. Elo laman diomar zonov, according to the approach that says, tail my ochor vokedem tzartani, what's the significance of front and back? Answer: Kida Rabbi Ami, Diom Rabbi Ami, Ochor Lemaisa Bracious, the Kida, the Koidem Lepuronus. The end of the creations, the last of the creations, was man, and the beginning of punishment. Man, when it came to punishment, was the first. At this point, we have a bracketed section, and we also have a bracket length indicator that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And if you follow this, indicator, you'll see where the bracketed section ends. So that what the Gemara has done so far is presented Ochor Vokedem Sartani and explained how it has meaning according to both approaches, the double male-female initial creation, and according to the tail creation as well. After the bracketed section, the Gemara goes back to analyzing the Shitas and says things will work out according to the back-to-back creation and explain how things work out there, and then raise the question regarding the tail. Each time, by the way, the tail approach comes into question, you'll notice it's introduced with a double underline under the word Ella. Now, all that having been said, so the structure of the Gemara is fairly clear. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will deal with the words or the teaching of Rabbi Ami. Before we go further, let's just take note of the fact that we have a bracket explanation on the side of the Gemara. You can see where there's a star. And we've written Miyad Achrei Hasograyim, right after the bracketed section, HaGemara Dono B'Shnei Hadeos. The Gemara will continue to deal with the two opinions, Partsuf Ozonov, back-to-back faces, or tail. B'Soch Hasograyim, HaGemara Osekes Behezber Dvorov Shorabi Ami B'Yena Posuk Ochor Vokedem. Within the brackets, the Gemara deals with what is the understanding of what Reb Ami taught. So now, that having been said, let's go into the bracketed section. Bishlamo Ochor Lemaisa Breshes. I understand what Rabbi Ami said, that Ochor Vokedem Sartani and Ochor means at the end of the work of creation. Dolo Ivri Ad Mali Shabbata. Man was created on Friday, after all the other created phenomena were already produced. Ela Vokedem the Puranus Demai. Man is the first when it comes to punishment. Well, with regard to what? So we now have an internal brackets. We call this the angular brackets. If you skip down a couple lines, you see where there's a number two. The answer will appear where it says Ella Puronis de Mabel. In other words, the question of the Kidam Leparnis, the Kodem Leparnis, or the Kidam Leparnis, regarding what? So the answer comes after the brackets. However, within the brackets, these angular brackets, there is a suggestion that's raised, but it is rejected. So the Gemara asks, we want to know what does the Kodem Lepuronus mean? He's the beginning of punishment. Man is the beginning of punishment. What does that mean? E lema, within the brackets, e lema puronus de nochosh, if it's a reference to the punishment that's set in as a result of the serpent seducing Chava to eat of the forbidden fruit. Well, V'hat Tanya, we have a Tanaic source to indicate that in that section of the Torah where punishment set in as a result of that sin, man is not the first when it comes to put on his punishment there. The source says, Rabbi Omer, B'gedula maschumim min agadol, when it comes to honor, we start from the greatest. Uveklolo maschil min hakoton. When it comes to cursing, we start from the least. Begedulo maschil min hagadol. Dichtiv. When it comes to matters of leadership and authority and greatness, we start from the most significant. Vayedaber Moshe el, and now Moshe addresses a number of people. And who does he address? Well, it says El Aaron. Vel Elazar, Vel Isamar Bonav, Hanosarim, Klu v'chule. Aaron addresses first Aaron, and then Elazar, who is the older of the two surviving sons, and then finally Isamar. B'klola, Maschilin min hakotin. When it comes to curse, we start from the least. B'tchilo niskalula nochosh. The first one to be cursed in that episode involving the consumption of the forbidden fruit, the first was the nochash, the serpent, was the first to be cursed. Ulubasof niskal chava, and afterwards chava ulubasof niskal adam. And we've dot underlined ulubasof adam, indicating that this cannot be the pshat, this cannot be the explanation of kidam lupuronus that Rabbi Ami spoke about. So what does that man is kidam lepuronus mean that he's the first in terms of retribution? Ela puronus de mabul, when it came to the flood, the great global inundation. Dechtiv vayimach es kol hayikum asher al pnei adama me adam v'ad behema. The entire civilization was wiped out from man till animal. Bereish adam, first man, v'ad behema, then animal. So we see that in the case of klola, in the case of curse or punishment, man is mentioned first, and that's what Rabbi Ami was referring to. Continuing, or we should say going back to the topic of the back-to-back creation, man-woman, or male, and then tail eventually formed into woman. Bishlamo l'madu b'partzuf, according to the back-to-back approach where woman and man were created simultaneously in a one entity back-to-back form, haynu dichtiv v'yitzer b'shnei yudin. So I understand why the word v'yitzer has two yuds, a reference to the two genders created together. Elo l'man diomar zonov mai v'yitzer, according to the zonov approach, what is the significance of the v'yitzer word with two yuds? So the Gemara answers, as we saw before, Rab Shimon ben Pazi, and you'll notice that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see an arrow, and this helps you align the comment here with what we saw above under the name of Rab Shimon ben Pazi. So the double yud will mean, according to the Zonov Pshat, Rav Shimon Mahazi's teaching that said, Oi li mi yotzri, oi li mi yitzri. Woe unto me because of my creator, if I should follow the evil inclination, and woe unto me because of the pressure of the evil inclination, if I should choose to try to combat it. Bishlamo, the Madama Partsuf, things will work out better according to the back-to-back creation theory, or opinion, this Hainu Dichtiv, the Posuk, which reads as follows, Zohar Nekeva Bor'om, will make sense. It means at the Zohar, male, Nekeva, female, Bor'om, they were created together. So that's how it was, according to the parts of Pshat. Elamadom or Zonav, my Zohar, Nekeva, Bor'om, but according to the tail approach, what is the significance of male and female, they were created? That is not the case. It was created as a male and a tail that was eventually made into a female. So what do we do according to the Zonav Pshat with this Pasuk? Rabbi Avo, the answer is in accordance with his teaching. The Rabbi Avo Rami. Rabbi Avo presents a stira, and through the resolution of the stira of the contradiction, we will arrive at an understanding. Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Zohar Nekeva Borom, male and female, they were created, indicating at the beginning of creation, both genders were present. Uksiv, but another Pasuk says, Kibitzelam Elikim Asa Es Ha'adam, that in the image of the Almighty, man was made, indicating just man, and the singular male was made. Ha, Ketzad, how do we resolve these two psukim? Betchila, ola b'machshava livrois shnayim. Initially, the original plan, the thought, was to create both male and female. Ulebesof lo nivra elo echad. But in practice, only one was created, the male, with the tail. So that the two psukim are not contradictory. One represents the original intention, and the other represents the actual carrying out. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo lemadoma partsuf, things will work out according to the back-to-back approach. Hainu dichtiv vayizgor bosor tachteno. After the male and female, Adam and Chava, were split from one another, so their respective backs needed to be surgically closed up. So that's what the Pasuk says, and their flesh was closed up. Elo l'man diomar zonov, but according to the approach that there was a singular male created and just a tail that protruded from him and that was formed into a woman, my vayizgor boser tachtena, what's the significance, or where is their flesh to cover up? The Gemara answers, Omer of Yirmiyah, v'itemo Rav Zvid, v'itemo Rav Nabar Yitzhok, There are, you can see different versions of the name who said this, but what did they say? Lo nitzuch el mokom chatach. The vayiskor boser tachtena, where it means the flesh was closed up, that's a reference to the point at which the tail was cut off. So it might not be a very large section of flesh, but that particular section needed to be sewn shut, and that's vayiskor boser tachtena. As we said before, the triangle here flips over, so we start out with the approach that the tail approach will make more sense. Bishlam olamando marzonov, hainu dichtiv, va'even. The Pasuk says, va'even es hatzela. So, the word va'even would mean something that needs to be built up. So to go from a tail to a full-blown female, that would require building it up. So according to the Zonah Pshat, the word vayiven will make sense. Elolamadom aparzuf mai vayiven. But according to the back-to-back Pshat, what do you need to build up? She was already completely built. So to answer this, you'll see that we've numbered the Pshatim. We have one over here and two lines later, there's a Dovar Acher Pshat, a second Pshat. So what does vayiven mean according to the back-to-back pshat? So the Gemara answers, I need it lichidu Reb Shimon ben Menasya. I need it according to his teaching. The Dorash Reb Shimon Menasya, my dichti vayiven Hashem es atzela. What does that posuk mean? Malamed shekol on HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair, and vehevio li Adam HaRishon, and presented her to Adam HaRishon, shekem b'krochei ayom, it is such that in places overseas, krocheyam, faraway places, kurin lekli osa b'ni yasa. The original Torah word of vayiven or b'niya, as referring to braiding, was preserved by these nations that are b'krochei hayam. Dover Acher, Vayiven, another approach to the word Vayiven, Omar Rav Chisda, V'Amri Lo B'Masdi Satana, some have it taught by Rav Chisda, other versions have it as a Tanaic source, Melamed Shebona HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechava Kebinyan Oitzar, that Vayiven is a reference to the physical structure of a female body, that she appears to be like a storehouse. Ma otzer zeh, the nature, the physical structure of a storehouse, is kotzer milamala v'rochav milamata. The upper part is narrow, the lower part is wide, kedei lekabos aperos, so as to contain the fruits. Af isha, so to a woman, ktsora milamala urochava milamata, is wide, is narrow at the top and widens toward the bottom. Kedei lekabelas avlad. It's because in the lower section of the woman is where the vlad, in other words, her fruits, so to speak, develop. Vayivel el ha'adam. The pasuk says, and the Almighty brought her to man. Amar Yirmiyahu ben Elazar melamed shenasa kodesh baruch hu shushbin la'adam arishan. It shows us that the Almighty served as a shushbin. A shushbin is in terms of weddings. These are the people, the very close friends that help the chosan, help the groom get married, would take care of his needs, and see to it that things are taken care of. So here in the wedding of the first man and woman who served as the shushbin, the Almighty Himself, who brought her to, presented her to Adam. Mikan limdo Torah derecheres. From here, the Torah teaches us the proper way. Shiachzer godol im koton b'shushbinus ve'al yeralo. Then when it comes to this role of helping a couple get married and taking care of their marital and wedding needs, a person of superior standing should work in service even of someone of a lesser standing, and it should not be viewed as beneath his dignity. After all, here you have the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, who is the Infinite, is serving as in this capacity for mere mortal man. Ulamadiyam aparzuf heiminayu sagi bereish. According to the opinion that said that they were back to back, which form, which gender walked in front? Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Mistabro the Gavro Sagi Bresh, it's more, most likely that the male is the one that walked forward. Tisanya, the Tanaic source says, Lo Yalech Odom Achore Isha, Baderech, Vafilu Ishto. A man should not walk behind a woman on the road, even if it's his own wife. Nizdamno Lo Al Hagesher, if a person was walking over a bridge, and it just so happened that a woman was walking in front of him, Yisalkeno Lutzdodim, he should attempt to place her over to his side. In other words, to hasten his pace and have it such that the woman is not in front of him, but off to his side. And anyone who passes or walks following a woman in crossing a river, so he loses his share in the world to come. Ostensibly a very serious offense. So let's point out a couple of things. In crossing a river, so the Rashi points out, Achore Isha Banahar. So Rashi adds some points here. He says, Achore Ashes Ish. First of all, we're talking about a man following a married woman. And what happens? Magbez Begodeha, Mibneha Mayim. She inevitably has to raise her clothing because of the water, and thereby exposing her flesh. And here you have a man looking at the body, the exposed body parts that otherwise would be covered, and he is looking at, gazing upon those body parts that are generally covered of a married woman. There is a comment made by the Tosfos that we see on the upper part of the page. Pirush im rogil bekach, if he is accustomed to doing this, he's a regular at it. Because this will bring him eventually to immorality. In other words, one sees the exposed woman, and then that leads him to desire her and eventually have immoral relations. And eventually he descends into purgatory. Our Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Hamratze mois lisha miyodoi liyoda, a person who offers change, exchanges money with a woman, hands her money from his hand to her hand, kidei lestakil ba, with the intention of gazing upon her, afilu yesh biyodu teru maisim toivim kibushi rabenu, even if he is full of Torah learning and good deeds, like Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yinake medina shel gehenam, he will not escape or be cleansed from the exposure to purgatory. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Yad liyad lo yinake ra, which means lo yinake mi dino shel gehenam. The Rashi explains, Yad liyad lo yinake, afilu kemoshe rabbeinu shekibel Torah mimino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's from the Yad Liad, from the hand of the Almighty, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to his hand, who he received the Torah. So that Yad Liad is a hint to someone as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo yinake ra, he will not escape punishment. Ukro beisha mishtoi, the pasuk is talking in the context of a woman. This pasuk was in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Chof Aleph, and in pasuk Chof Aleph it says, and we've added this between the lines of the Rashi, Nezem Zohov Ba'af Chazir Isha Yafa V'Sorat Ta'am. So you see that the context of the pasuk is dealing with a woman. Continuing with the Gemara, Omar of Nachmon. Monoach was the father of Shimshon Hagibor, the judge Shimshon, famous for his strength. So his father's name was Monoach. He am ha'oretz hayah. He was an ignoramus. Dichtiv, vayilech Monoach acharei ishto, and Monoach walked after his wife. Now we were just taught in a two sources ago, lo yahalech odom acharei isha v'adavadech afilu ishto, and here Monoach followed his wife. Maskif lo Rav Nachman Yitzchok, elo me'ata. If you're going to argue thusly, that because it says someone walked achare ishto, that shows he's in ignoramus. Gabi Elkona, dechtiv, regarding Elkona, the father of Shmuel, who was known to be a great man, it says, Vayelech Elkona achare ishto. Now, let's just point out that Tosfos goes on record as saying that this pasuk doesn't exist. There is no such pasuk as this. But, nevertheless, we continue. Vagabi Elisha, dechtiv, Vayokom Vayelech achareho. It says that Elisha walked after the woman, and now Elisha was the Godol Hador. So, Hachi Nami, are you going to say regarding Elisha that Achareho Mamish? Are you going to say that he walked following a lady, following the woman? Ella, so what does it mean when it says that he followed her? Ella acharei devorel v'acharei atzosa. He followed her words, he followed her counsel. So hochanami, so too with regard to Manoach acharei devoreha, acharei atzosa. Manoach followed his wife's words, his wife's counsel, but not that he actually walked behind her. Amar Rav Ashi, ulamaydu kamar Rav Nachman Manoach amoretz oya. According to Rav Nachman, who said that Manoach was an Amoretz, afilu beirav nami lo korah, he didn't even learn psukim in elementary school. Shenemar vatokom rivka v'naraseha vatirkavno al hagmalim vateilachno acharei ha'ish. The pasuk describing Rivka and her departure from her household. From her house, her father's house, Lavan, and her brother, Lavan, and the rest of the family. So it says, she went with Eliezer, the servant of Avram. So it says that Rivka and her maid servants arose and they rode on camels and they followed the man. They walked behind the man, the Eliezer. Not in front of him, so as to create a situation where he, the man, would be walking behind the women. Being that this is a pasuk in Bereishis, and it conveys this message, so it would then show us that Manoach was, if you were to assume that Manoach was walking literally behind his wife, it would show us how little he had really known by way of Torah learning. Amar Rav Yochanan, achorei ari v'lo acharei isha. Better to walk behind a lion than walk behind a woman. Achorei isha v'lo achorei akum. Better behind a woman than behind an idol worshipper. Acharei akum v'lo achorei beis haknesses b'shal shatzibu mispalin. But better behind an idol worshipper than walking behind a shul at the time that the community is praying, and you walk right behind it, right by it, and not enter. At this point, you'll see a series of diamonds. So if we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, B'tno'im Siyomim, under certain conditions, Kayam Isur La'avor Achorei Beis HaKnesses V'shor Shatzibur Mispalin. When does this prohibition apply? If this Gemara seems somewhat familiar to some of you, it is because this appeared in the first perek of this Masechta. So the Gemara goes and qualifies when this Isur of walking behind the shul is binding. So the Gemara says, "V'lo amarano delo dori midi." The Isur is only if he is not carrying something. Aval dori midi, if you have a person carrying a package and he walks behind the shul and doesn't go in, less than, but we are not worried, we're not upset by that, because we will associate his lack of going into shul to, because he has this package to take care of. It's clear that his lack of interest is not because of his being a denier, being a renegade, but rather because he has something else to take care of. The objection of going by a shul and our coming to negative conclusions is if there is no other entrance to the shul. If there's another entrance, so then we are not going to be upset that he's walking by the shul over here, because we can just as well figure he's not entering here, but he'll use the other entrance for getting in. V'lo amoran elo delo rochiv chamro. The objection to walking by a shul when the tzibur is davening is only if he's not riding a donkey. Aval rochiv chamro les labo. But if he is riding a donkey, so then we don't have any objections. That could very well be because he won't have anyone to hold the donkey, won't have any place to leave it, and it'll escape if he goes into shul. So he has to ride by right now. The objection to going by a shul when the tzibur is davening is also limited to a case where someone is not wearing tefillin. But if he's wearing tefillin, the fact that he's wearing the tefillin shows us that he is a believing Jew and not a renegade who denies what the shul and what prayer represents. Omar Rav, Yetzahara doima lizvuv. The Yetzirah is portrayed as a fly that sits behind the two chambers of the heart. Shenemar zvuve moves yavish yabia shemen rokeach. Rashi doesn't explain too much on as far as this pasuk is concerned, but what he does say is worth looking into. Yabia, Rashi says, loshon ababuos, something that bubbles. Kol mashke masriach male risicha v'ababuos. A fermenting beverage, in its fermentation, it raises bubbles. Shmuel, Omar Shmuel, another portrayal of the Yetzirah, is kemin chita hudome. It is like a wheat grain. Shenema lefesa chatos rovetz. The word chatos has a means sin, which is represented by the Yetzirah, and also has a root to it that is reminiscent of chita, the grain, the wheat grain. Tonu Ravonan, shtei kloyos yesh bo bodam. A person has two kloyos, often translated as kidneys. Achas yoatzosei l'toyve, v'achas yoatzosei l'ra. One provides positive counsel, and the other evil counsel. U'mistabra d'toyve l'yamin, v'ra l'smola. It's most likely that the kidney that provides the positive counsel is off to the right, and the one providing the negative is to the left. Dechtiv, lev chacham limino, lev ksil lismolo. The heart of the wise man is to his right, and that of the fool is to his left. So that wisdom is associated with right, and foolishness associated with left. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with a number of different organs, and what they represent. One should realize before we go further that one is not to, let's say, limit his approach to this to thinking that the particular organ which is made of biological tissue is that which is performing the functions that we mentioned over here. In other words, well, the first thing we have here is kloios yoatzos. The kidneys are the seat of counsel. It's not we're not going to claim that a person's abilities to make judgments are in his kidneys, which would suggest that if a person underwent a, let's say, kidney removal, he would lose his ability to seek or to offer counsel. But what we are going to suggest is that each organ has a particular role that it fulfills, and if we analyze the role that it fulfills, we'll then understand what we are to extract from that. For example, the kidney is something that is used for separating that which is desirable from that which is waste. Counsel is also the ability to make a distinction between what is necessary, what is worth pursuing, and what is secondary and insignificant, which we could call as waste. So, kloios yootzos. Lev mevin. The heart is the seat of understanding. Loshon mechatech. The tongue pronounces. Pe gomer. In other words, the tongue helps form words. the peh, gomer, the mouth, completes the word. Veshet machnis umotzi komine maichol, the esophagus is responsible for the intake and at times the expelling of all kinds of food substances. Kone, the trachea, motzi koil. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Rea, the lung, Shoeves Kol Mine Mashkin, draws in all kinds of liquids. The Rashi at the top points out, Shoeves Kol Mine Mashkin, Afalpi Shehein Nichnosim Bekeres Derech HaVeshet. In actuality, liquids don't enter the lung. A person would choke if that happened. But so Rashi's pointing out, even though in actuality liquids enter the stomach through the esophagus, horeya motzisoson v'shoavoson miba'ad l'dofnei akeres, the lungs absorb the nutrient values through wall, let's say wall absorption between different organs. The next organ, kaved, the liver, koes, is the source of anger. Mora, the gall, zorekes ba tipa umanichoso. It injects a drop and enables the anger to cease. Tchol, sochek, kurkuvan tochen. The tchol, often translated as a spleen, represents laughter. And the kurkuvan, which is an organ of digestion in a bird, tochein, grinds. Keva yeshena, the stomach is responsible for sleep. Af, the nose, neor, for awakening. Neor hayoshen, yoshen ha neor, if the that which is responsible for awakening slumbers, or that which slumbers awakens, nimok v'holechlo, there'll be gradual decay. Regarding what we just learned, Rashi has a couple of pshatim, which we'll take a look at momentarily. Just we want to finish this source first. Tona im shneim yishenim o shneim niurim. If both of these organs do the same role, they're both yishenim or they're both niurim. Niurim is awake. Miad mace. Immediately, a person will die. Taking a look at the Rashi, Neor HaYoshen V'Yoshen HaNeor, Pshat number one, Shenischalfa, they switched their roles, Ubo Hashino Minoaf, and sleep should come through the nose, Vakeva Neoris, and the stomach responsible for awakening, Nimok V'Holech Lo, Mitznavno V'Holech Lo, V'Nimshach L'Misa, person will gradually decay and die from that. Loshanachir, another pshat in this Nir HaYoshen V'Yoshen in Nir, is as follows. Nir HaYoshen HaKeva, the Keva, which we said is responsible for sleep, becomes aroused. So it is aroused. V'Dinsu Keva V'Af Ne'urim. And the result would be that the Keva and the Af are awake. She'ein Yoshen Klal. He ends up not sleeping at all. Oy Yoshen in Nir, or the Nir, the Af, then tends towards sleep. Vinimsushneim yeshenim, veino neor kiim bakoshi. In a case like that, he would not awaken unless other than through great difficulty. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Reb Yosef Gvili Omer, tzadikim yetzora shofton. In the case of tzadikim, the driving force behind the righteous, the shoftan literally means that judges them, but we'll have to say that that serves as their driving force, that enables them to, let's say, to judge things, is their yetzer atov. Shenemar v'libi cholal v'kirbi. David HaMelech announces that my heart, which is associated with the yetzerah cholal, is like dead in my midst. So that his yetzerah is not functional, and that is discussed a little at greater length at the end of the first perek of Bava Basra and Tosfos there as well. And the idea that is that's mentioned over there, that if a person successfully battles his evil inclination for more than half his life,
it ends up as being something that is in fact almost non-existent because of his successful warring with it for so many years. Rishoyim, Yetzara Shoftan, the wicked, on the other hand, are governed by their evil inclination. Shenemar, Ne'um Pesha L'Rosho, Bekerv Libi Ein Pachar Elikim L'Neged Einov. If we look at the Rashi, Ne'um Pesha L'Rosho, V'chule, Omar David, Bekerv Libi Yesh, V'Omer Ani, Sha Pesha Ne'um L'Rosho. Klomar, this means to say, Sheyitzahara Umer L'Rosho. The Yetzahara, the evil inclination, tells the person, the victim, who it turns out to be, eventually is classified as a wicked one, don't let the fear of the Almighty be in front of you. The Yetzirah ends up governing him and pushes him so far away until the point he has no fear of his Creator. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Kagon Anu Beinonim. We, says Rabba announces, are like people that are in the middle. Beinonim means a non-tzaddik, but non-rosha, not righteous, but not wicked. That we call in the middle. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye exclaims to Rabba, who was an outstanding leader of the Jewish people, an outstanding rabbinic figure. In fact, if you learn the seventh parak of Bava Metzia, you will discover that Rabba, who is also known as Rabba Bar Nachmeni, was such a towering figure that he was sought to settle a dispute between the Almighty and the heavenly court. Can you imagine a mortal serving in such a capacity? And yet this individual, Rabba, declares that, well, we are mediocre. We are in the middle. We are not righteous, but we're not evil. So Abaye says, Lo shavik mor chayei l'chol bria. You're not leaving any chance for anybody. In other words, if you're calling yourself a Beinoni, then there is no such thing as a tzaddik gomor in the world. There's no such thing as a complete righteous individual. V'yomar Rava, Lo ivri alma elo l'rishi gemuri elo tzaddiki gemuri. The world was created, and when we say world, there's a concept of Olam Hazeh, this world, and the concept of Olam Haba, the next world. So the world, or we can say the world slash worlds, were created either for the total wicked or the total righteous. So Rashi explains, L'Rashi Gemuri Ho'olam Hazeh, this world is for those who are completely wicked. She'ein lohem bo'olam habo klum. They get nothing in the world to come. The world, the place of unlimited reward, or of boundless reward. U'tzrichem nitol scharon kan. And for the very little good that they do, so they have to get their reward somewhere. Get it in this world. Kagon Achav, like King Achav, who was portrayed in the Tanakh as being an extremely evil individual. And yet, we Shahaya Oshimoni was fantastically wealthy. To Komarle Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, the Armenian monarch, says to Achav, Kas Bechov Zavachol Lihu, indicating that he wanted to take over the riches of Achav, showing how rich Achav in fact was. Now, the next Rashi, with Tzadiki Gemuri, Ho'elam Haba, the world to come is created for the totally righteous. She'em Levelam Azeh Klum. They get no benefit from this world. Kigon, Rabbi Chinan ben Dosa, Shedai, Lo Bekav, Charuvim, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. The Gemara describes Chanina ben Dosa as a person who subsisted on a very small measure of Charuvim, sometimes translated as carob fruits, from week to week. And yet the whole world existed, sustained itself based on his righteousness. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, Leida Inish Benafshei, a person should practice introspection and know Im Tzadik Gomorhu Im Lav, is one completely righteous or not. Omar Rav, Lo Ivri Alma, Ewal Achov Ben Omri, Ulu Rabbi Chanina Ben Doisa. this comment reflects that which we saw that we saw in the Rashi, and here Rav says that the worlds of Olam Hazeh and Olam Havo were created for these people. La'achov ben Omri, for King Achov, ha'olam hazeh, this world was created. This is the place he will get his reward. U'Rav Chanina ben Dosa, ha'olam havo. Olam Havo, the world to come, is the place for Rav Chanina ben Dosa to get his reward. For in this world, he did not benefit whatsoever from any of its rewards or creature comforts. Yo'afto es Hashem Elokecha. This we saw in the Mishnah. Of course, it's a pasuk from Kriyat Shema, and this Brisa will elaborate on the topic. But before we do that, let's take a look at the topic heading on this side of the Gemara, under our Nosei heading. And we've written, Avas Hashem, the love one must show to the Almighty, afilu no tail, nafshecha, even if it's at the expense of one's life. Ubaisa de Rabbi Kiva, shesoku es besor, and we will learn the famous and tragic story concerning the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the 10 martyrs of his period, where the Romans combed off his flesh while he was still alive. So the Tanaic source begins, Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, im nemar b'chol nafshecha, if it says in the Kriyat Shema that you shall love the Almighty with all of your nefesh, all of your soul, loma nemar b'chol meldecha, then why is it necessary to say that you shall love him with all of your wherewithal? V'im nemar b'chol meldecha, and if it has that term, so loma nemar b'chol nafshecha, why the double expression? Elo, im yesh l'cho odom she'gufo chovev alov mimumano, if there is a person who loves his body as his most precious possession, more than his money, more than his holdings, then you shall love the Almighty with even all of your guf, all of your body. Give up, even if it means giving up one's body for the sake of the Almighty. And if there are people whose money is more important to them than their own lives, then they have to be prepared to part with their money in a service or in defense of the honor of the Almighty, even though their money is their most valuable possession. Rabbi Kiva Omer, b'chol nafshecha, afilu notel es nafshecha. Even if it's a question of having one's life taken away from him. Tana Rabbanan. And here we have a very long Tanaic source in which we will feature the story that we mentioned in our introductory remarks. Pamachas gozor malchus harosha. Once in history, the evil empire known as Rome issued an edict, shalayasku yisrael b'torah, that Jews shall not engage in Torah study. Bo papas ben Yehuda umatzel Rabbi Kiva shoyamakil kilos barabim. Papas ben Yehuda came along, and he found Rabbi Kiva gathering crowds in public, b'yosek b'Torah, and learning Torah with them. Omalei, so Papas said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, iato misyara mitnei malchus, you're not fearful of the government? After all, they issued an edict not to engage in Torah study, and here you're doing it publicly. Omalo, emshoch moshel, I'll give you an analogy through which you will understand my behavior. Lema hadover demo, to what is this comparable? Lishuol, a fox, shohay mahalech hagavanor, walking along the river's edge, v'ro dogim shay miskapsin mimokom mimokom, and noticed the fish gathering and flitting back and forth from place to place. Omar lohem, the fox asks the fish, mitnei ma atem borchim, from what are you trying to escape? Omru lo, so the fish said, mitnei rushosos, from the nets, shemivin olenu b'nei odom, that fishermen, that are men, are trying to, that are bringing upon us to catch us. Omar lehem, so the fox says, Ritzonchem shetalu le'abosha, why not will it that you come up on dry land? V'noldurani v'atem k'shem shedora avosayim avosechem, and let us live together here on dry land like my forebears and your forebears lived together.
together. Omru lo. So the fish, upon hearing the fox's suggestion, they exclaimed, Atahu sha'imru malecha pikeach shebachayas. Are you the one concerning whom they describe the wisest of animals? Lo pikeach ata ela tipe shata. You're not wise, you're a fool. And why? Umab mokum chiusenu anu misurim. Mind you, in the place that we live, the water, which is our natural environment, we are fear struck. The mokum misosenu alachas kama vakama. On dry land, all the more so would we be fear struck, but not only fear struck, dead. Af anachnu explains Rabbi Akiva, so too we. Achshav shanu yoshin v'oiskim b'torah, shekosev ba. Now that we are studying Torah concerning which it says, ki hu chayecha v'yoruch yamecha. Look at our situation that we are in fact in fear of government rulings. If we would go and stop learning Torah like you are suggesting, all the more so would we be dead. Omru, it was reported. Not much time went by. That they grabbed Rabbi Akiva and incarcerated him. The Tafsu Pappas ben Yehuda v'chavshu etzlo. And they also grabbed Pappas ben Yehuda and incarcerated him, but not for Torah learning. Omar lo, Pappas, mi haviachol lekan. So Rabbi Kiva asks, Pappas, who brought you here? Omar le, Pappas responds and says, Ashrecha Rabbi Kiva, fortunate are you, shenit pastal divrei Torah, that you were grabbed and incarcerated over something worthwhile, over Torah. Oilo lapapas, he says on himself, but woe unto me, shenitpas alvoram betelem, that I was seized for foolishness. Bishal shaotzio es Rabbi Akiva lahariga, zman kriyash mahoya. At the time of day that Rabbi Akiva was taken out to be executed, it was the time for the recitation of kriyashma. Vayu sorkinus besor masrekas shel barzel. And they were combing his flesh with metal combs. And he was at that moment reciting Kriyashma. Rashi says, because the literal translation, he accepted upon himself the yoke of heaven, but that is accomplished by the recitation of Kriyashma. Omru lo tamidov, the students who were present at this execution, they said, Rabbeinu ad kan. They said, even now that you're being killed, you're engaged in Kriyashma recitation. Omar Lohem, kol yomai hoyisi mitzara posuk zeh. Rabbi Kiva says that all through my life I was concerned or apprehensive concerning this posuk, which says b'chol nafshecha afilu noitel es nishmoscha, that we are instructed to show our love and appreciation of the Almighty, even at the expense of one's own life. Almighty, I said to myself, Masayovoi liyodi vakemena, when will I get the chance to be Mekayim, to fulfill this? In other words, a person who, let us say, dies a peaceful death in his sleep, so he doesn't show through that his giving of his life for the sake of the Almighty. So Rabbi Kiva was worried that maybe he will never come to fulfill this particular teaching. The Achshav Shibol Yodi Loa Kamenu, and now that I have the opportunity, I shall not fulfill it. Here I have the opportunity. They are killing me, and I am going to show through my recitation of Kriyashma that I'm placing the Ribbono Shelolam, placing the Almighty on a higher plane than my own very life. He pronounced the word echad in a lengthy fashion, and at that point, and as he completed the word echad, his life departed from him. A heavenly voice came and announced, fortunate are you that your soul departed from you at that word. Omru malachei ashoyim ekodesh baruch hu. Angels said or cried to the Almighty, Zu Torah v'zu schara. Is this Torah and this is the reward for its study? Mimsim yodcho Hashem mimsim mecholed chelkom b'chaim mitzfuncha tamale bitnam. The idea conveyed by this quote is that your beloved ones should die at your hands and not at the hands of these wicked ones. Amar lehem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, chelkom b'chaim. Their portion is the portion of these, like Rabbi Akiva, is amongst the living. In other words, that they will merit. That don't worry, don't come out with this exclamation of Azu Torah Vazu Schora. Is this the reward? Of course, this is the reward, in the sense that where these tzaddikim are going, they are going to go to the ultimate in eternity and life. Fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, that you are mezuman l'chaim olam. This expression, mezuman l'chaim olam, there's a citation on the side to Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, where Tosfos says that this expression, as opposed to ben olam haba, means a person concerning whom this expression is used, mezuman l'chaim olam, means he goes directly to the rewards of Olam Haba, and no Gehenim experience, no suffering, no pain, no punishment in the world to come. Lo yakil adam es roshe keneged shar hamizroch shumechuvan keneged beis kodshe hakadoshim v'chulei. The Mishnah spoke about the need for abstaining from levity. Opposite the eastern gate of the Temple Mount, which is opposite the entrance to the Holy of Holies. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a nosei klali on the side, meaning a general topic, which we call Beis Hakisei, the bathroom facility. And the topic at hand, nosei kivunim, directions, lemishe mispane oisitzrochov, how a person should position himself when he is relieving himself. There are two regions, Behuda and the Yehuda region. The Yehuda is the southern region of Eretz Yisrael, which was the Beis HaMikdash. And we might as well say that the Beis HaMikdash was located centrally in the Yehuda region. And there's a northern region called Goliel, the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. We are concerned here with the way one positions himself. And in a general approach, we don't want a situation where a person's posterior is facing the Beis HaMikdash as he is defecating. So the Gemara says, Lo yakil odom es rosh keneged shar mizroch shu mechuvan keneged beis kodesh hakodashim v'chulei. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Lo omru elo min atzofim lifnim uberoya. The restrictions imposed by the Mishnah in the context of Kalus Rosh, or behavior that is less than totally full of respect, this limitation is only from the area called Sofim. Sofim means an area from which you can see the Beis HaMikdash and inwards. And not only that area, but also that you can actually see. You could have a situation, for example, where outside the Temple Mount you have a deep valley where you might be within Soifen, because you're very close. However, you can't see the Beis HaMikdash because of the depth at which you are located. So you have to have both of these considerations. It's from a point that you are within the range of visibility, and there is actual visibility. Then the restrictions of the Mishnah apply. Itmar Nami, likewise it is said, Omar Rabbi Abba, Brei du Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Thusly says Rabbi Yochanan, Lo omru elo min atzofim lifnim uberoe ubashein geder, and there's no fence. In other words, you can have a situation where a person is close to the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a fence between him and the Beis HaMikdash. And if that would be the case, so then the Mishnah's restrictions would once again not apply. Ubizman shashchina shura, and at the time that the Beis HaMikdash is built. In other words, that the divine presence is there, and that means that the Beis HaMikdash is extant. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that deals with positioning oneself when relieving oneself. Hanifne b'Yehuda lo yifne mizrach u'maharav. When one is defecating in the Yehuda region, he should not do so he shouldn't position his body in an east-west fashion, elotzofon v'dorom, rather north-south. Ubegolio, if on the other hand he is in the northern part of Eretz Israel, where in such a case the Beis Hamikdash is to the south, lo yifne elo mizrach u'maharav, there he should position himself in an east-west direction. Rabbi Yossi matir. Rabbi Yossi is lenient. Shei Rabbi Yossi omer lo osu elo baroya uvemokum shein sham goder uvizman shashchina shura. The only restriction is that you're baroya, that you can see the area of the mikdash, and there's no fence, and at the time the Beis Hamikdash is built. The Chachomim Osrin, but the Chachomim are not lenient like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara asks, well, Chachomim Hainu Tanakama, then Chachomim are saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Why do the Chachomim have to appear here when the Tanakama already said the same thing? Iko Abinayu Tzodin. The point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachomim Osrin at the end is the issue of Tzodin. The Rashi, by the way, occupies both columns on this daf, so on the, we'll call it the standard Rashi column, the inside column, about halfway down, Rashi says, Iku b'nayot stodim, diuda v'golil, she'enon k'negi Yerushalayim mamish. If you have a place in Yehuda that is not directly east or west of the Beis HaMikdash, but you can, maybe you're a bit northerly or southerly located in Yehuda, so that if you were, let's say, facing east-west at that point, you're not actually directly opposite Yerushalayim. So can you face east-west if you're off to the side? So the Tanakama, according to the Tanakama, he's restrictive, that even if you're off to the side of Yerushalayim, either north or south of Yerushalayim, Daha anifne b'Yehuda komar, the Tanakama says one who relieves himself in anywhere in Yehuda. So the restrictions of positioning yourself east-west anywhere in the Yehuda region represents a problem. Rabbona Basroi Savri, the latter opinion in this source, holds Kineg Yerushalayim Mamish Osir, only if you find yourself directly opposite Yerushalayim, then the restriction applies. Avot Stodin Mutar. But off to the sides would be okay. And how does Rashi know this? The Hadar of Yossi Kaimi, the Rabbona Basroi, the second opinion, the second Chachomim opinion in the Mishnah, is coming off of Rabbi Yossi. The Omar Lo Asu Elo Baroya Avo Barochik Loi Yafilu Kinegi Yerushalayim Mamish. Rabbi Yossi says that only if you're near Yerushalayim, but if you're at a distance, there is no restriction. The Asu Rabbona Lameimar VeChachomim Osrin. Afilu shaloboroe, afilu bizman azeh. The Chachomim say that even if you can't see Yerushalayim, it will be usher, even if it's nowadays. Umiyu, neged Yerushalayim. However, the restriction is only if you're directly opposite Yerushalayim, then lo, then you cannot position yourself east-west, if you're in the Yehuda region. So, as the Gemara said, the point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachomim Osrin at the end is the issue of if you are off to the side of Yerushalayim, can you position yourself east-west in the Yehuda area? The Tanakama being more restrictive than the Chachomim at the end. Tanyo Idach, another source, Hanifne b'Yehuda, lo yifne mizrach u'marav, elo tzofen v'dorom, as we saw already. U'begolil, tzofen v'dorom osur, a north-south positioning would be prohibited, mizrach u'marav mutar. But an east-west positioning would be okay. Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi Yossi is lenient. Shrei Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo asu elo baroya. Also, this we saw before. Rabbi Yossi says that the only restriction is if you are at a point that you can see the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yuda Omer, bizman she'besu nishkayim, osur, bizman she'enu nishkayim, mutar. Rabbi Yuda makes a distinction between the time that the Beis HaMikdash is extant versus the time in its destruction. Rabbi Akiva, Oser b'chol mokim. Rabbi Kiva forbids under all places. Well, once again, like we asked before, is not Rabbi Kiva simply reflecting the opinion of the Tanakama? Rabbi Kiva hainu Tanakama. Iko binayu chutz la'aretz. The point of difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Kiva would be the need to concern yourself with positioning outside the land of Israel. Rabbi Akiva, who used the expression b'chol makom, in all places, that would say that chutz laretz is also a place to concern yourself. That means if you're in a country outside the land of Israel, which happens to be opposite Yerushalayim, so then you will not be able to position yourself in an east-west fashion. Likewise, if you're in a country north or south of Yerushalayim, you will also be restricted and not position yourself in a north-south direction. Rabo havu shadion le livni mizrach umarov. We are describing here the seat upon a person, upon which a person sits when he is defecating. In this case, the seat is made of bricks having length to them. Rabo was located in Bovel, which was east of Eretz Israel. It says here that Rabo have a shadion lay that livni, the bricks that he would sit on were positioned mizrach umarov, which means that the head, the ends of each brick was one was east, one was west. So if the length of the bricks were in east-west position, that means that when he was sitting on them, he was himself was physically facing north-south. That's the way that one positions bricks in order to sit on them. So the bricks themselves were positioned with the two ends of the bricks in an east-west positioning, and a parallel brick next to that in the same setup, thereby creating a situation of Rabba when sitting on them, he would be facing north-south. And again, Bovel was east of Eretz Yisrael. Ozal Abaye Shavinu Tzofon Vidorom. Abaye went to, he ran a test. He repositioned the bricks, repositioned Rabba's bricks, so that they would be now north-south, thereby forcing Rabba to sit on them in an east-west fashion. What Abai wanted to see is whether Rabba held like Rabbi Akiva. That means that even outside Eretz Yisrael, one has to concern himself with his positioning. Rabba entered, Tartzinu. He re-straightened them to their original positioning. Omar, and claiming, Man, hi, Dikmatzar li. Who is it that's bothering me? Anok Rabbi Kiva Svirli, Domar B'chol Mokom Asur. I hold like Rabbi Kiva that says in all places one has to exercise concern and restraint over positioning. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.